Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Jehovah Rapha, God Our Healer.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I thought about putting together the bulletins for this month, I chose the names of God, and I had no idea that I'd be preaching to basically an empty congregation, but to you guys at home on this Sunday. But it's amazing that when I was choosing these topics last month, that the name that just happens to come up for this week when we're not meeting here in a kind of a pandemic virus in our country happens to be Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord, Jehovah, our healer. And so when I think about that, I think I'm not putting these things together. God actually set these things up. He already knew what was coming this month. I didn't know it was coming this month. But he has prepared this message ahead of time for you because he wants to encourage and comfort you in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So let's take a look this week at Jehovah Rapha, the Lord Jehovah, our healer, and what God teaches us about that. Now, where does that word, that name of God, which, by the way, speaks of his person and personality as well as what he does for us, where do we find that name of God in the Bible? Well, we find that in Exodus chapter 15. Now, this is right after Moses and the people of Israel have crossed the Red Sea, and they're not yet to Mount Sinai. And we read here in Exodus 15 that Moses led Israel onward from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days' journey into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Then the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them, saying, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give heed to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I put upon the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer." And then from there he led them off to a place where there is much water, springs of water. This is a crazy a scene in the Old Testament, isn't it? You're walking along in the wilderness, 3 million people, 3 days without water, 4 days you die. They're all crying out and murmuring against Moses. They come to water sparkling in the sunshine and they can't drink it. It's totally bitter. That's what the word Mara means in Hebrew. It was all bitter, non-potable, unusable, and then God gives this very strange command to Moses. Take a tree, throw it into the water, and all that water is now going to become usable and go from bitter to sweet, and the whole congregation of Israel can drink. That seems crazy, but it was a teaching moment that God had for Israel, and he has for us to teach us about healing. Now, we notice there then that God, just in general, works healing for his people there, healing their thirst, giving their bodies rest and refreshment. He also says, if you follow me and keep my word diligently, I will keep you healed. No diseases will touch you, and you shall be healed, for I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. So what do we learn here is that God's person and his personality is to heal. He set up this situation in order to heal them and then give them a lesson that they'd remember for generations to come. What does this lesson also teach us is that life, for all of us, is full of bitterness. Amen, guys? Amen, congregation? It's full of bitterness. The word Mara means bitter. Remember, in the other Old Testament story, Naomi, my daughter's name, means pleasant. It's the opposite. When Naomi went into the wilderness, or she went into the other country, that is, and she lost her husband and her two sons, she said, no longer call me Naomi, pleasant, call me Mara, which means bitter. And man, life is full of bitterness. Let's talk about the bitternesses that there are in the Bible briefly, in our lives. Number one, which we're dealing with today because of the pandemic of coronavirus, at least people are concerned about this, is physical healing. There's physical bitterness. You've got diseases, you've got broken bones, you've got blood clots, some of you have had that, diabetes, colds, sniffles, the flu, and coronavirus. Bitter. And that's a tough pill to swallow, if I could put it that way. If you think of Hezekiah, remember him? When he was about to, he was very sick. It says here in 2 Kings, he became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Death sentence. And then Hezekiah, it says, turned his face to the wall, prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in faithfulness with a whole heart, have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So when we have pains in our bodies, would you close the door back there? When we have pains in our bodies, it is very bitter for us. We all have to wrestle with that. Does Jesus come to heal our bodies? Well, we also have bitterness in our emotions. Look at what David says here. This is worse than a physical ailment, is pains emotionally. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is sorely troubled. But thou, O Lord, how long? So which is tougher, to have a broken bone or a broken heart? A broken heart is far worse than a broken bone. For Proverbs 18 says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit who can bear? We also have relational bitternesses. That's broken relationships. Those are just as bad as a broken heart. They often go together. A broken marriage, a broken friendship, broken nations. We're having a lot of division in our country. Broken churches because of grudges that people hold. The Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. That's a beautiful thing. But when there's not unity, but division, how bitter a pill that is. How tough. Fourth, you have not only physical and emotional and relational bitternesses, but you have bitterness of nations. Think about the bitterness in our own country right now with divisions that there are there. Or even between countries. Trouble and civil unrest and divisions and wars, rumors of wars, pestilences and famines. We got a pestilence we're dealing with right now, the coronavirus, which is a big thing in our country right now that everybody is concerned about. But then we got, on top of all these, the worst bitterness of all, and sickness, disease, is spiritual. Amen? Death. The Bible says that when Adam, God spoke to Adam, he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall die. And that already death was at work in him. He died in his relationship with God when he took of that fruit. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you were dead in your trespasses and your sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. And we were all by nature children of wrath, says God. And so there's a lot that we needed healing from Jehovah Rapha, our healer. But what do we read in the Bible? That God is Jehovah Rapha. That is his person, his personality, and what he likes to do, and what he does. Let's take a look then he's going to turn, remember, Naomi wanted to turn from pleasant to bitter because of her circumstances, Mara. But we go from Mara to Naomi, from bitter to sweet. And how do we get healed by Jehovah Rapha? Back to the Bible. How did Moses make that bitter water sweet? We read here that God said to Moses, he says he showed him a tree. Actually, the word there in the Hebrew is yara, which is usually translated, he taught him a tree, which really means God is teaching us something about our salvation here. He taught him a tree, and Moses threw the tree into the water, and the water became sweet. How do you get bitter to sweet? By a tree that you take and hurl and throw into the waters, and then everything is made well by that tree. What's God teaching us here? Obviously, look at how I'm standing here. It's the cross. That's how God, the Jehovah Rapha, comes to heal all of us in our present pandemic in the country, as well as in all of these ways. Let's take a look briefly. Number one way Jehovah Rapha heals us is spiritually. Because over here in 1 Peter, we read here of Christ. Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So there's a piece of wood that's turning death into life, bitter into sweet for us, and that's the cross, says Peter. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were all straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So God, when he comes to heal us, number one way is to heal us spiritually, because that's what we need the most in order to live forever. And he's done that for us, as you all know, through the cross. Remember that. He heals you through the wood. He also heals us emotionally through the wood. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 147 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So how does the wood make your bitterness sweet with your heart? Well, he comes in, if you'll let grace and the cross get into your heart, is he removes shame, he removes guilt, he removes fear, replaces it with peace, with kindness, with courage, with love, with confidence in God, with the joy and hope of eternal life. So he heals our emotions as well. And remember, a sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God then thirdly heals our relationships, because Colossians 3 says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So God has, by his wood, healed you with himself, and by his wood, heals you with each other through forgiving each other as God himself first forgave you. That heals relationships. See how he's healing everything, making everything bitter into sweet for us. He heals us nationally, too. This is so important today as we're dealing with all this trouble with the virus and shutdowns and such. Think about this word in our sanctuary over there. You know it. 2 Chronicles 7. If my people, says God, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's exactly what we need in America today and in the world, but it requires repenting, humbling, seeking his face, and praying. So let's all be about that. And pray for our country that they'd all be about that, that we might be healed. And then one more, our physical bodies. Is God going to heal our physical bodies too when we face troubles? What if we actually get the coronavirus? What if we get a flu? What if we break a bone or have a blood clot? Is he going to heal you? Well, some churches say that God will heal every time. And that's a health and wealth prosperity gospel, that God, by his cross, already is taking care of your sicknesses, and you should never get sick. And if you get sick, it's your fault because you're not believing God. Therefore, it's your own faith that's failing, and they're killing you by their words. That's a false doctrine. Don't believe that one. Does God heal miraculously in this life? Absolutely, we see it all the time in answer to our prayers. But at times, sometimes God doesn't heal. If you're not healed immediately, that's okay. Paul says, you know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you. Paul got sick. He tells Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. So Timothy got sick, and Paul doesn't say, hey, your faith is troubled. No, he says, just drink some wine and you'll be able to feel better. Epaphras was near death. On the Lord's mission, he almost died from a sickness. It's okay to be sick. That's not wrong. And Elisha, for all the miracles he did, he actually died of sickness. So sometimes God heals us miraculously, sometimes just through time and through the way our diet or our doctor. Sometimes we're not healed, and we don't always know why God does what he does. But I will tell you this, that wood of that cross will make sweet the bitterness of your body also. But when? Sometimes and often and usually in this life, but if not, in the life to come. Because we have this promise that ultimately, with the resurrection of the dead, when your body is raised up on the last day, it's right now so imperishable. Like I always say, an old banana peel, no good. But it's going to be raised imperishable. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a physical body, raised a spiritual body, like Jesus' body, and glorious it shall be. So the wood of the cross, thrown into the waters of your bitterness, also will make sweet your body very soon. And in that good hope, we live. And on the last day, it says, Revelation 21, God's going to come personally, dwell with his people, wipe every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. That's the ultimate sickness. And pain shall be no more. And all those mourning and crying and such things shall be no more. And he who sits upon the throne shall say, behold, I make all things new. So he is Jehovah Rapha. He heals our bodies, our hearts, our emotions, our relationships, our spirits, our country, if we seek his face. And so let's seek his face, trust in him. And a final word here in conclusion, Christians, don't fear anything. When it comes to whatever's going on in our country, hopefully we get back together soon, and I know we will. You all will be well taken care of, but we don't fear anything in life because he's with us. We don't fear anything in death because he's conquered it for us, and we have a perfect hope of glory forevermore. So let's comfort one another with these words, and I'll look forward to seeing you back here hopefully next week or the week after that. God bless you in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Jehovah Rapha, God Our Healer, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are normally at 10 a.m. on Sundays, when megavirus season has passed, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. So we encourage you to keep listening online until our website shows we're open again. We'd love to have you. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
A new new and excitingly different door.
Yeah!
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Some people just naturally exude a spirit of deep, authentic worship, while for others it seems forced and awkward. Do you ever wonder why? Today, on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah reveals how our worship life is the direct result of our prayer life and why it's so important to pray with the right focus. Listen now as David introduces the conclusion of his message, God's People and Prayer.
And thank you so much for joining us here on Turning Point today, and welcome to a brand new week as we open our Bibles together today. And especially if you have your study guides, you know that we're beginning the final volume of the three-volume set on the book of Daniel. This is lesson number 23, but it's the first lesson in the third volume, God's People and Prayer. We began it on Friday. We'll conclude it today. And we're in the last study guide of this series. In the last teaching of this series, we'll finish up at the end of this month. By the way, as you know, this is Easter week, so we're going to continue studying Daniel right up till Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll take a day away from Daniel to talk about the resurrection, get our minds set for the celebration of our Lord's return from the grave, victorious over death. Today is the end of sort of the personal part of the prayer section. And then tomorrow, and for the next several days, actually six broadcasts altogether, we're going to talk about the 70 weeks of Daniel, how Daniel was given a calendar that outlined the future all the way up to beyond where we are today. This is one of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible. It is researchable. It is validatable. And many, many great scholars have taken this passage and shown how this miraculous truth from God is being lived out in the world in which you and I live today. Don't miss any of the next five or six broadcasts, because we're going to be talking about Daniel's 70 weeks. Right now, we go back to our discussion of God's people and prayer. And that's enough to say about that. Let's just open our hearts and our ears to receive the Word of God today.
One of the things that I have learned as pastor is that we are never, ever right when we get into an I-thou relationship with our congregation. Let me explain what I mean. There's a difference between sharing in the teaching of the Word of God and being preached at. A preacher who preaches at you says, if you don't watch out, this is what's going to happen to you, and you better get your life straightened out, and if you don't, you're going to fall. And the biblical style, as I understand it, is that the preacher does not set himself apart from the temptations and the sin and the difficulty that is rampant in the church. There is not anything that you are capable of doing that I'm not capable of doing. And if I understand the biblical frame of reference for preaching, I am always to identify myself in the preaching of the Word of God to the body, to the church. We are in this together. And not one of us can sin without it affecting the other. If you're involved in sin in your life, you may think nobody knows about it and it's not a problem to anybody else, but I want to tell you something. God says it affects the whole body. It touches every person in this church. And until we can get, as Daniel had, a sense of corporate guiltiness before God, we will never have holiness within the church as God wants us to have. There is no pride in Daniel's prayer. There is only humility. In verse 20, Daniel says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people." Are you saying, Pastor, that Daniel had no sin? No, I have never said that. I have said that there is no sin recorded of him, but obviously he was a sinner. But he was also a very righteous man, a very holy man, a man who walked with God, whose righteousness would probably, in comparison to our holiness today, be a cut above the average. Why then would he confess his sin? Here again is a principle that we need to learn. When God is at work in our lives, repentance and confession becomes the norm. If it's been a long time since you brought any sin before God, it isn't because you haven't sinned. It's because you're so insensitive to sin that it hasn't touched your life. The more devout your soul is, the deeper your love for God, the higher your standard of holiness, the truer your commitment to Christ, the greater will be your sense of sinfulness. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and holy and lifted up, he said, "I am a man of unclean lips." Whenever you find yourself a stranger in confession, you are far removed from God. Someone once told me that's the meaning of the church steeple. I don't know if that's true or not, but at least it's a good illustration. The church steeple teaches us that closer you get to God, the smaller you are. When you see God in His holiness, you begin to recognize the sin in your own life. And that is the reason why Daniel calls out to God in confession of sin. Not because he is such a great sinner, but because he is walking with God, in fellowship with God, and in his close fellowship with God, even the incidental sins of his own life are magnified in his own mind until he cannot stand them, and he calls out to God for forgiveness. Principle number five is this. Life-changing prayer is magnified in